Okay, well, I'm very honored to be here with you all today, coming all the way from North Carolina. So I wanted to talk to you about technical services now that we've heard about social software and a wonderful introduction. And two favorite sources, the Urban Dictionary and Wikipedia here, both authoritative, wonderful sources. but they do have their value, of course, which we know, although they are user-created sources. What's a mashup? John Blyberg already addressed this in his presentation, but I liked the etymology of this term. It comes from the music industry. A mashup was originally used to describe a remix made by taking two different songs, usually by two separate artists, and combining them into one new piece. So I really liked that, and below you can see the Wikipedia definition, which brings that into the information technology context, which is a web application that combines data from multiple sources and uses those different sources to create something totally new, as John already mentioned. So how does this concept of the mashup relate to technical services? And I wanted to begin by talking about the traditional model of how we've been engaging in technical services up to this point. And then I wanted to talk about what are some of the new OPAC models that have emerged as these new 2.0 tools, and look specifically at some exemplars of Catalog 2.0, which I view as the main embodiment of technical services 2.0. What is the largest function of technical services? Well, traditionally it's been to provide the library catalog. So Catalog 2.0 is really how I think about technical services 2.0. And then I wanted to say a couple of words about the larger information storage and information seeking context, what's happening around us. And John has already alluded to this in terms of Google and Amazon and other internet initiatives. And I'll talk more about that when we get there. And lastly, I wanted to talk about what can we do to make sure that our OPAC continues to develop and continues to keep pace with all of these trends and make it even better than some of the emerging models. So, what do we do in tech services back in the windowless back room all day? We deal with acquisitions. Acquiring resources and licensing resources for our libraries. We deal with bibliographic control, traditional cataloging, and authority control, which goes closely hand-in-hand with cataloging. And my argument is that all of these functions are going to continue into Library 2.0, into Technical Services 2.0, as I think part of that foundation of Library 1.0 that John mentioned earlier. We have to make sure that we're doing this very well. But in addition, we're going to be adding a lot more services to our catalog. And before I go any further, I wanted to make the distinction between the integrated library system and the OPAC. There's an emerging idea of the, quote, disintegrated library system, where the ILS is used predominantly for those functions that it's really good for. The business operations of the library is excellent for acquisitions. It's excellent for storing information about claiming serials and so forth. It's also excellent for providing shelf lists. That's how we do inventory, by using the ILS. It's also excellent for circulation. It keeps track of materials going in and coming in and going out of the library. And we need to, or we can certainly, continue to rely on the ILS for these functions. But a lot of librarians are starting to say, well, the OPAC, which is the web presence, isn't necessarily tied to the ILS. We can start using other programs and certainly more modular add-ons to be conveying our information in our OPACs. And I would like to just offer the caveat that I am not a programmer by any means. So please don't think that I am. If you have technical questions, I can't answer them. But I can tell you this, that as a librarian, I am very concerned with standards-based, standards-compliant software. and interoperable systems. These are things that we all want, regardless of where we are in the programming continuum. And I think that really has to be the foundation of our OPACs. So what's wrong with the old OPAC? This is not a new question, and it has some old answers. Okay, so, well, the clunky search interface, you have lots of choices. Right when the user comes to the catalog, you're forcing them to make a choice. Do you want to do a title search? Do you want to do an author search? And they don't know, they just want to find out information. The results in the OPAC under the old model were typically not relevance ranked. And it was difficult to narrow down search results easily. You were presented with this long list of items potentially, and not an easy way to be able to narrow down subgroups. It was not a social experience, and it was not personalized. Your OPAC is the same as everybody else's OPAC, and there's no input from the user at all. It's very passive. There's a lack of user-created content. That same idea, the users are not interacting with the OPAC. They're just looking at it. While there is information, good information, about the physical holdings in the library, there's a lack of connection to web resources often. And also, finally, there's a lack of information about the catalog items. I can't count the number of times that I've been working on the reference desk with someone, and we've been doing a subject search, well, usually a keyword search in the catalog to try to find some good results and then look at the relevant subjects. But we'll pull up a title that looks really great, and then I'm just praying for a contents note. Please let there be a contents note, and there's no contents note. So I can't tell my user more about this book other than just the title and the publisher and how many pages it is, which, you know, is great, but it's not really enough for people who are used to seeing reviews on Amazon, and, you know, people are getting used to seeing so much more than that. So I wanted to talk about what's right with the new models of OCATs, and lots of different libraries are moving in these directions. And I just love this quote. I saw this quote. A more fruitful and delightful library catalog search experience. Isn't that just wonderful? Doesn't that just give you the warm fuzzies? I mean, it's great. So rather than just tell you, I wanted to try to show you, I apologize that type is kind of small on these screenshots, but we'll just have to deal. So to address those, what's wrong with the OPAC, really point by point, the bad stuff, not a good search interface, no relevance ranking, and no easy way to break down your search results into subgroupings. Here, under the new model, we have OPACs that are providing a good search interface. The single box is really pretty ideal for users who have who don't have a lot of in-depth searching experience. We also see relevance ranking coming into many different catalogs. And we see faceted search results, which are broken out here. I don't know if anybody in the back can read this at all, but I did a search in the North Carolina State University's NDECA catalog, looking for the topic post-colonialism. So you can see up here, post-colonialism is under the facet subject topic. But there's also the facet subject genre. There are congresses, case studies, interviews. There's also the format. Is it a book? Is it online? Is it a journal, magazine, or serial? There's the location of the library where the material resides. A whole bunch of stuff at DHL, which is the main library in NC State. And then
could you
there's...
speak more to the microphone?
Oh, sure. Sorry about that. Sorry. And there's also the subject region, which you can see down here. Is it about a developing country? Is it about Africa in particular? So you can see with these facets that there's a nice way to sort of break down your results. If a user said, oh yeah, I'm looking for case studies, they could click on that link and be taken directly to case studies. Next, the old catalog, not a social experience. But to reference John Blyberg's pet, the social OPAC at Ann Arbor District Library, here we see that there are patron reviews. Two patron reviews here and five stars. So, and not only that, the tagging, which we'll talk about more. So patrons can log in and they can tag things and rank things and write reviews, which is really a wonderful thing that patrons really weren't able to do in the old model. Pen tags, user-created metadata. We've already seen pen tags in Elisa's presentation, but I just wanted to make mention of it here since it's such a great example. When you click on one of the tags, I believe I clicked on the city planning, and I got this list of results back. And then when I clicked onto this roadwork one, I got the record in the online catalog. And then you can see below, I scrolled down to the bottom of the record, you can see what other people have tagged this as well. And if you clicked on one of those tags, you would see the other results that have that tag. So users are really buying into this MPen, and they're really adding value to the catalog themselves, and they're being able to interact with it. Information about the cataloged items that we didn't have access to before. I think that Synthetic Solutions is a really nice tool. My library has just invested in it, so I should be saying that. And what it does is, if you haven't seen it, it brings in from the Synthetic server the cover image for the books, and reviews, tables of contents, summaries. So this is just a screenshot from our beta of we're currently implementing Synthetic. So I just did an author search for David Sedaris, and it pulled up these books. And then I clicked on the top one, which was Barrel Fever, Stories and Essays. And you can see here, it has links to table of contents, summary, cover image, and reviews. So that's a really nice way to add more content. And also the idea that the previous OPAC didn't connect with the electronic content that your library has access to quite as much as we would like. Now we're starting to see more of that. And admittedly, this example that I have a screenshot of here is sort of halfway there. You can see in the Queen's Library Aqua browser catalog, you can see that there's this box over here that says search in external sources, search in our web resources here. But I also really liked the implementation of the delicious tags, where you can have access to the topic guides that way. And also, I think that this is an area where meta search is going to come much more to the fore. There's actually a nice example of a meta search at University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign's Granger Engineering Library, which has not only the catalog search but also the databases and articles. So that would also have been a good example here, being able to integrate some of the digital content that libraries provide in other spaces than the catalog, roll it into the catalog. That would be a really great thing, and something that I think will be coming to the fore a lot more. So although we've already seen a bunch of screenshots that show some of these, I just wanted to mention the names of a bunch of services and products. And I've broken this out into two different slides for the reason that I view the services on the first slide really as modular add-ons to your catalog, whereas the second slide, they're more sort of monolithic pieces of software that are intended to be sort of an all-in-one type deal, even though they may be sitting on top of your OPAC. The second slide is really, I think of them as sort of one piece, whereas these, the ones on this slide, can really be taken and added on top. We've already seen delicious tagging, but I think I actually have a screenshot of that also after this, and we've already seen pen tags. Also, library thing information. If anybody hasn't seen library thing, it's really nice. I just recently got the chance to really check it out in depth, and it's a really nice resource. And there are these things called library thing widgets that you can bring library thing information into your catalog, and I'll show a screenshot of that. The second point that I have here is call number browse, which I haven't seen incorporated into too many catalogs, But this is really nice information to be able to show people the Library of Congress schema and allow them to click in on a letter so that they can see more information about the collection on the whole that way and browse more easily in a virtual setting. I wanted to make reference to two catalogs that do that, I think, in a very nice way. The Western North Carolina Library Network. I've put links in these slides so that you can go and explore later. And also the North Carolina State University and DECA catalog, which I'll talk a little bit more about in the next slide. Syndetic solutions, as we already saw, the cover images, the reviews, and so forth, that can just be fed in. It's a commercial product. And also this last one, I wanted to mention, although it's still in development, there is a demonstration prototype up on the web called C4, and it's what this is called extensible catalog. It's under development by the University of Rochester and several other institutions. And they're trying to develop open source modular software that will take all of the metadata from the catalog, harvest it from the ILS, sort of transform it into a flavor of XML, make it Open Archives Initiative compliant so that it's cross-searchable over many different searches, and to index all the metadata and make an interface to search the index, and then create sort of added services to add onto your catalog, stuff that you didn't have before. And so I'm not really an expert on the XC project. I do recommend looking at the blog, which I've linked to this slide, and it is currently under development, so they're in their phase two of development right now, but I expect that we'll be seeing more about this in the future and learning more about it. So here's just a screenshot of Delicious in the Thunder Bay Public Library, and we've all seen Delicious before, so just a quick little view. And this slide shows the Library Thing widget at the Shenandoah Public Library. Over here on the right side of the screen, this is recent books that have been added to the collection, and what I believe happened is that the library put this information on Library Thing. They tagged these books as new books that they've brought into their catalog, and then they used the Library Thing widget to display those books on their library website. So that's one way that libraries are using Library Thing. And some very small libraries are just using a Library Thing account as their catalog, which is pretty neat. And so to go on to my second slide of the exemplars of Catalog 2.0, these are the pieces of software that I was saying are more monolithic. And just to go into that a little bit more, Endeca is a commercial company that has created a search interface and also search mechanism, and it's called ProFind, and it's now being used by several libraries. I think the first of which is the North Carolina State University Library, which I showed a screenshot of earlier. And Endeca has as their trademark the facets that they put out to the side. And Media Lab's Aqua Browser is another example of one of these new interfaces. We already saw a screenshot of those. So these programs are taking the information out of the ILS and they're overlaid on top. So it's not an alternative to an ILS. It's just an alternative visual for your OPAC. The Ex Libris Primo is another service like that. It's developed by Ex Libris, and Innovative also has its own Encore. Also, OCLC's WorldCat Local is like this. And again, I have the links here. Feel free to look at them in PDF at your leisure. Villanova University has developed ViewFind. Casey Bisson has developed Scriblia, which used to be called the WP OPAC, if anyone was familiar with that. I think I have a screenshot of that so we can see kind of what it looks like. But it's innovative because it uses blogging software actually as the library's catalog, so that's kind of neat. And John Bleiber's own Ann Arbor District Library SOPAC, which I showed a screenshot of earlier. Koha and Evergreen are open source solutions, and they are ILSs. So I'm not exactly sure who's running Koha right now. Does anybody know who's running Koha?
Nibline.
Oh, right. No, I meant like which, are there any examples of libraries? I meant to look this up.
County, Ohio has it.
Okay.
State Library. Near Eastern University in Turkish Cyprus. And Waldo in Westchester is very strong.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you. So you can see that these open source tools are coming to coming into their own. As librarians are saying, we want more control over our ILS, as Bill mentioned earlier. And the last piece that I have mentioned here is Gavlan. I apologize if I'm mispronouncing it. I've never actually heard it spoken aloud, but it's currently in a test phase right now. And it shows drill down facets to get at different articles. And I expect that we'll see more development with this as well, and maybe some incorporation into catalogs. And here's a little screenshot from Scriblio. You can see that it's got the tags here and the cover images and the facets over on the left. And so this is all within the WordPress blogging software that's been tweaked to specifically fit the OPAC. Okay, so to move on to the larger information storage and information seeking context, our first competitor, which I know John would say they're not really our competitors, we can't fight this battle, is Google. Especially Google Book Search. But what I mean by putting this in here is saying that we have to recognize that our catalogs don't exist in isolation. They are not the be-all and end-all of information that our users are looking at. And a lot of our users are going first to Google. And what do they find? Well, sometimes now they find the full text of books, at least in part, for stuff that's still under copyright. Through Google Book Search, through the Google Print Initiative, where Google is digitizing thousands upon thousands of titles, whatever they can. So I just wanted to sort of place the OPAC within this context. There are larger things out there. Also, Amazon.com and Library Thing, which have the same kind of bibliographic information that our users want. And then there's the Open Content Alliance, which I think of in the same realm as the Google Book Search, because what they're trying to do is incorporate materials in the public domain into a large digital archive. And the Open Content Alliance is a group of partners, including the Internet Archive, Yahoo. Hewlett-Packard, Adobe, University of California, University of Toronto, European Archive, the UK National Archives, etc., other institutions as well. And they're digitizing lots of public domain materials and hosting them on the Internet Archive. And you may come across these materials when searching Google also. And then there's Open Library, which I think of sort of as a meta-library. I have that with a question mark, because it seems to me that Open Library is perhaps the most ambitious of them all, because they're trying to incorporate all of the Open Content Alliance digitized materials and Google Book Search. They want everything. They want, and WorldCat.org, everything. They want everything, and they want it to all be under the Open Library umbrella. There's also a prototype search up for Open Library online, and I recommend that people look at it because it's pretty interesting. So, you know, we've got other search tools out there, and I think that the library certainly can hold its own, but I think that we need to work to be able to hold our own. The last point that I have there before I move on is a biggerworldcat.org, because there the question exists that, you know, why aren't all of us moving towards WorldCat, centralizing our cataloging, and then focusing our energies on unique materials? Why do we do so much original cataloging? Is it possible? And why do we maintain so many different kinds of OPACs? Is it possible that at some point in the future we may all be sort of gravitating towards a central database to hold all of our catalog holdings together? And I don't know the answer to that question, but I just thought it was worth posing. But while we don't have the answer to that question, I do think that there are things that we can do to make our individual OPACs even better. And when I was thinking about this, what can we do, I came up with a couple of points. And then I looked at the Library of Congress Working Group on Bibliographic Control PowerPoint that you can find online. They are issuing a draft report today. Wow, how about that? Good timing. So we should be watching for their draft report on the Library of Congress website, which should be up there today. And they're going to open it up for comment, and then they're going to produce a final report that's expected January 9th, 2008. They are going to be busy between today and January 9th, 2008, I suspect, because I think that people have a lot of comments on this. And so this slide right here is really my interpretation of the PowerPoint that I found online that was produced by this working group on bibliographic control. So I wanted to summarize it for you all and sort of give you my spin on it. And then, of course, I encourage you all to read the report. I know I will be later when it's out. So what did the working group say? The working group is really looking at how can we change bibliographic control and make it more in tune with what users need in Library 2.0. And they came up with several recommendations. One of them is to use metadata produced by publishers further up the information stream and increase cooperation between publishers and catalogers. There is a lot of metadata that publishers already have. They already have book descriptions. They have the author, the publisher, the date, the publication. Is there some way of streamlining the cataloging effort? Can the publishers transfer this information to libraries in a way that will allow libraries to do not less work, but to just help get it started? And I think that that's a really great idea, and I think that it'll enable libraries to focus on some of the other tasks that we have to do if we can get at least a head start from the publishers, because they already have a lot of this information. And the same thing with serials. The ISSN centers already have a lot of information, so is there a way that we can just cooperate a bit more and get more information quicker? Second point. To establish the functional requirements for bibliographic records structure and establish serials work level identifiers. Of course I had to say serials because that's what I do. This is something that keeps me up at night. I really want to be able to have better identifiers in the catalog to associate common works. And a big example in discussion of fervor is, you know, a play of Shakespeare, say Romeo and Juliet. The original work is the play as conceived by Shakespeare. He happened to write it down, but originally it was that nebulous idea of the play. And then that comes into the expression. There are four levels of entities and functional requirements for bibliographic records. There's the work, the expression, the manifestation, and the item. I don't want to say too much about Ferber, but it is important to understand the idea that there's a work, and then down the chain of information, for example, with this the play Romeo and Juliet, with the expression, you get all of the English language versions of Romeo and Juliet, as opposed to all of the French translations of Romeo and Juliet. So that would be an expression. It's a subgrouping of all the things that fall under the work level. And then the manifestation would be a particular edition of an English language version, you know, Shakespeare's original, a particular version by that's edited by a particular editor, down to the item level, which is the physical book that you hold in your hand that is the play written out. The particular item that corresponds, say, with a barcode number that's on the barcode. So Ferber has these levels, and currently in catalogs, we're really good at being able to identify materials on the item level. All those barcodes that we have on our books, they help us identify particular items. But how do we get to that item? We have to search by the work title. And currently, especially for serials, there's a situation where you have titles that change over time, and it's very difficult to identify all of the works that are really supposed to fall under the same work. But if we had identifiers, all of the same exemplars of a work together, I think that would be really, really beneficial for our users. I think that we need this for our catalogs to be able to go forward. It would be very helpful for faceting in the search results, which we've seen already, if everything that had the same identifier, the same work identifier, would be grouped together. Integrate user-created metadata into the catalog to move on. We've already seen examples of this. It's a direction that we are moving, and we need to keep doing it. Do it more and more and more. We need to trust. We need to trust our users. And also decouple the components of subjects. And what I assume this means, without further information on this, is that the different subfields within a 650 field will be able to be searched separately from one another, and also perhaps recombined in different ways. And I think that would certainly be wonderful. It's not enough to have Library of Congress subject headings. They are important. They're wonderful. We do need them. But we also need to be able to recombine them in different ways. And the last point I have here is encourage digitization of materials and integration of those digital materials into catalog. What more can I say? I think that's pretty self-explanatory, and I really think that we are moving in that direction, and we need to move in that direction. And just to show you an image of what I was talking about with the Ferberized cereal, because I just can't let those cereals go. I love them. Here is an example of the Proceedings of the Royal Society of London, its title history. This is my dream, to see this in every OPAC, everywhere. Why can't we just have a title history? And this kind of display relies on having a work identifier. The work identifier is what brought all of these titles together so that they could be displayed in their proper history. Right now we have 780 and 785 fields, which are wonderful, but we need more, we need better. We need people to be able to see all of the relevant information together on the same screen. So this is my dream. I hope it will become a reality. And here are some selected resources. I highly recommend these articles. But there were also a number of other sources that I looked at in preparing for this. I'm sorry that they didn't make it onto the slides. But if you want a more extensive bibliography, let me know.